WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. CBS News has learned the Department of Homeland Security has been administering polygraph tests to some of its employees.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem wants to know who is leaking information about immigration raids to the media.
We have identified two leakers of information here at the Department of Homeland Security.
In a video she posted on X, Noem said the alleged leakers have put the lives of law enforcement officers in danger and they will be prosecuted. CBS has learned the lie detector tests have been going on for 3 weeks. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Is another tough week ahead for Wall Street? CBS's Ali Bauman.
A turbulent week on Wall Street. Scary swings in the stock market, ultimately making it the worst weekly decline in 6 months. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi says inconsistent economic policies from the White House are to blame.
It's called stroke of the pen risk. It's the on-again, off-again tariffs that are just driving business people and investors crazy.
President Trump may have paused tariffs on Mexico twice, but America's top trading partner remains wary.
Mexico City trade expert and lawyer Terena Ramirez says consumers will pay the price if President Trump reinstates the tariffs.
The situation with these three countries right now, it's a little bit scary.
Products that could cost U.S. consumers more include vehicles, produce, and appliances.
The elevation of the costs of production, that will, of course, have as a consequence that the products will be much more expensive.
But for now, a reprieve, and thousands of Mexicans will be cheering that today. Adrian Barr, CBS News, Mexico City.
A new study finds the number of cases of fentanyl poisoning in children across the U.S. has been steadily increasing for most of the past decade.
Researchers looked at more than 3,000 incidents of non-fatal fentanyl exposure in children up to 19 years old that were reported to poison centers and found a 1,194% increase between 2015 and 2023. The exposures were categorized as either misuse or abuse or as unintentional. When the numbers were broken down into two age groups, teenagers 13 to 19 years of age were more likely to have been exposed to fentanyl than kids 12 and younger. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The death toll from revenge killings and 2 days of fighting between Syrian troops and forces loyal to ousted President Bashar Assad has risen to more than 1,000, according to a war monitoring group. James Jeffrey chairs the Wilson Center's Middle East program.
If the international community speaks with one voice to the government, there's a chance we can get through this. But if the international community is divided, as it was for much of the Syrian civil war, it's likely we'll descend into chaos.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Wisconsin universities are bracing for the possibility of immigration officials on their campuses after a new normal from the Trump administration. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
According to the Higher Ed Immigration Portal, nearly 16,000 international students are enrolled at Wisconsin schools. President of the American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, says campuses are seeing a chilling effect due to hostilities toward international community members.
Higher education should be the bastion of free ideas and academic freedom, because how do you create new things? How do you innovate? How do you imagine if you don't actually create academic freedom?
There are also more than 50,000 first and second generation college students in Wisconsin. An institution's approach to making things safe and welcoming may now change that ICE is allowed on campus. Tanya Broder with the National Immigration Law Center points out that immigration agents can only legally enter public, not private, areas of campus without a warrant.
It's very helpful to plan in advance when you can to have a real procedure for when people are showing up and trying to enter someplace where you have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
The American Federation of Teachers is advising schools to provide legal and mental health support for people who may be affected, offer Know Your Rights training, reaffirm student data and privacy protections, and issue public statements of support. Hadi Gassama with the UnDocu Black Network spoke to higher education leaders on a recent webinar.
You are protective of your students. And two, go outside of the campus and be advocates.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine mixed in with a few high clouds for today. Southwest winds will turn quite breezy. Gusts up around 25 in the afternoon. Highs of the mid-50s. Overnight mostly clear in mid-30s. On Monday, sunny skies, a little warmer, close to 60. Currently 32 degrees.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will discuss the American crisis. Also, if the GOP has a mandate, should they be able to pass a stopgap spending bill without Democratic help? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut it, dude, man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. A kudigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Heck yeah, we're awake. And hey, we have our friend, Dr. Stately, who's president and executive officer at Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we got a lot to talk about. Great to see you, Dr. Stately.
Bonjour. How are you?
Doing good, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. I was at the Capitol today doing some testifying about mascots, and it was a good time to be had to all. Ho-wa.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's things going on, Dr. Stately. I mean, the Congress and the House members.
There are so many things going on. It's crazy.
Can we let our people know what's going on, especially with the medical end?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I wanted to draw everybody's attention to is like what's going on in Congress right now. In both the House and the Senate around, you know, the efforts to make significant, massive cuts in Medicaid and Medicare, which I think will really have a very big impact on, you know, all Indigenous communities. Many of them sort of rely on Medicaid and Medicare support to deliver critical healthcare services to their communities, whether they're on tribal lands or in their urban areas like where I work, Minneapolis. But I think the other thing that's really scary and frightening about this thing is, like, I saw an alert earlier today, like 880 million dollars, or no, is that billion dollars?
That's billion.
Yeah, billion. $880 billion projected. Efforts to cut, to save, you know, and reduce the debt load that the United States has, you know, of course they're not going to slash it over, you know, out of 1 year. This is over, like, you know, several years, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. 10-year period. But, this is like, so what's happening here is that the Republican Party, who currently controls the House, the Senate, and also the administrative branch, are all trying to give very rich people, tax breaks and tax cuts, and they plan to, finance that on the by doing these kinds of things, cutting Medicaid and Medicare. And I think it's really important that one of the things I think that is kind of befuddling to me, actually, that I just don't really seem to understand, which is that, the constituents that put him into office probably are going to be harmed by that significantly as well, tremendously, right?
Right.
And, those poor communities, those communities that are part of the Grain Belt, the middle, the Dust Bowl, the whole, all the way into the southern states, they are going to, they have a lot of old people. Florida, what are all those, Florida is 60-70%, maybe greater, elders. What are they going to do when they can't have, can't get their health care through Medicare? And I think so part of it is baffling to me, this idea that they're proposing these things, because it'll significantly impact, this is not a partisan issue. This is a human issue. This is all human beings who don't have access to good health care, who can't afford private insurance, who can't afford health care services that other people who are in the upper middle class, upper class, and the oligarchs that are running around here doing all this crazy business, trying to slash and save money. What's really interesting is, I don't know if you've been tracking the Doge website,
and their
receipts.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else, but I mean, I'm going to just kind of drill it down here. If I came home from the store after buying a loaf of bread and I gave my mother a receipt that said, show me the coupon you used to save $10 off that loaf of bread, and we only had to pay a nickel for it.
Right.
Well, that's more like eggs. Eggs is a good analogy here, because eggs will be about $10 a dozen here soon.
Right.
That is just not, that's like napkin math. That's not even real math.
Right.
And it's not money we're saving today. It's money that we're saving in 5 years and in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's money. And it's not even the largest part of the budget, actually. The reason they have to slash and cut Medicare and Medicaid is because, and Social Security is next.
Right.
Is because those are the lion's share of our budgets, the federal government budgets. It's not, the FFA, and it's not, the CDC or NIH. Those are little teeny tiny budget numbers, right? Like less than 1-4% of the budget, or less than that collectively, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to cut the military budget, and they don't want to rein in military spending. They don't want to rein in those kinds of things. They want to make big tax breaks for people who are already very super wealthy, don't pay enough taxes anyway, and give them more tax breaks. And it's just crazy making.
And
none of the promises he made is he coming good on. He's like, none of them.
No
mass deportation yet, right?
Right.
Your eggs and your gas and your bread and everything else is more expensive today than it was 6 weeks ago.
Well, and two, with all these job cuts, job rate in the economy is going to be going down because people don't have work. I mean, it's
we're headed for a recession, if not a depression.
Right. Well, one of the things too, we have a call to action, and I wonder if our listeners could get that phone number. Haley, I believe it's 1-866-426-2631. That's 1-866-426-2631. Leave a 30-second message, and what the call could mean the difference between families getting care they need or losing access to doctors' prescriptions and critical support. Keep the pressure on for sure.
Yeah. Hold them accountable. Let them know that, like, you know, you vote and you're going to vote in the midterm. Perhaps you voted for them this time, right? Mm-hmm. Let them know, like, you plan to change your vote if, like, these things happen. You know, this is going to impact, I don't know, I think about my whole entire family and all the people I know. I know several people here in the space where I live, Fire Lake, Shakopee area, several mm-hmm. non-Indigenous people, you know, people that, you know, are middle class, who work for hard for their money, just like everybody else. And they will, you know, I have a couple of friends of mine who are cancer patients. And I think about, like, our inability to do things like research cancer, innovative cancer cures and those kinds of things. Like, these are things that are, we're going back in time here to the early 1900s, right. If not the 1800s. So,
yeah, well,
it's crazy, you know, making.
It is, and I appreciate you talking about this. Talk a little bit more. I know we have a short time with you today. We are with Dr. Stately, and he is the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking budget cuts and what we can do as listeners and people out there in the listening to us, what they can do. It's a call to action. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking about these massive cuts by Medicaid, MA. We need you to call your representatives at 1-866-426-2631. And I'm calling as a constituent to urge you to fight to keep all Medicaid funding. Cuts to Medicaid would immediately hurt pregnant women, babies, children, families, and our communities. Welcome back, Dr. Stately.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I do think it's really important that we all use our voice. Creator gave us a voice for a reason. It's, you know, not just to yell at our kids. No, I'm just kidding. but to call Congress and, you know, call your senators, call your congressional representatives, and let them know your concerns. I think it's really important. I think one of the things that's profoundly interesting for me, interesting to me, is, like, you know, we're 6 weeks into the new presidency, mm-hmm. thereabouts, right? And in 6 weeks, the scale of what has happened here in his administration and the impact that's having on people across the United States is really alarming. And what's remarkable is the lack of significant outrage that I'm not seeing in comparison to, like, his first term. Where we're at today is significantly much more demonstrably different than where we were 8 years ago. And I think one of the things that's concerning to me is like, we need to like encourage people to stand up and speak up mm-hmm. out. You know, I read this article, I think it was in the Atlantic, might have been in the New Yorker, talked about how, you know, Hitler came into office, you know, he's voted into office mm-hmm. through a democratic process, right? And yep. within six weeks, and here we are, we're at 6 weeks now, within 6 weeks, he was able to dismantle that democracy and take control of the entire country. And we all know what he ended up doing, right?
Right.
And so democracy dies when people don't speak up. Democracy dies when people don't stand up.
Well, I've seen a lot of people standing up. I just think we're not seeing it on the mainstream media again. That's a yes. big problem mm-hmm. that's normalized all this. I know we'll see little TikToks and little videos of maybe booing J.D. Yeah. Vance, but there's stuff going on. We just aren't yeah. getting the press, I don't think.
The press is all, you know, the majority of the press, or the majority of that field is focused, you know, their leadership, of course, also very wealthy people, right? You know,
yep.
people who own big, huge news corporations, you know, and such. Those right. folks are interested in protecting themselves, protecting their shareholders, mm-hmm. and, you know, and protecting their dividends and all those things. They're not interested in the American people, right? It's like
right.
They are, and they're all afraid of him. They're all afraid to go up against him because, you know, he's going to come after them, right? And,
right.
you know, I was born and raised in the 1960s and 70s where people were not afraid of those things.
Right.
And it's just remarkable to me that, you know, that we're at the, you know, that we're at the place where we're at. Who was that woman that owned the Post? Or not the Post, the Washington Post, yeah. That Jeff yeah. Bezos now owns, that kind of at the last minute decided not to endorse anybody, not even Kayla.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. like that woman who was like in a force to recognize, Meryl Streep portrayed her in a movie. Amazing mm-hmm. woman. She went up against big, big, huge, you know, forces and her career to say like, no, this is where we stand, these are our values, and we're gonna print this, right? Mm-hmm. And like where is the backbone of these people? They have no backbone.
Exactly. And we're grateful here to be on AM 950 and then the Civic Media Network all over Wisconsin and the United States. But, you know, we've always said that when, what is it, eight companies own 95% of the media. And that's why yeah. I have issue with the mainstream media, because look what happened to MSNBC. They only have one African-American reporter and he's on, or a news person, and he's on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fake yeah. news, really. It's just comedy.
Yeah.
So it's all the African-Americans are gone yeah. because they folded. Folded under that.
It's we're living in very troubling times, and you know, and the thing that's really, you know, I think that things get cast, like, you know, folks like Trump and like you know, the conservative Republican Party, they cast things as, you know, they play on things that are the, you know, they feed the culture wars, make us fight against each other. They're really good at that, right? I mean, we know that as people who've been colonized for over 500 or 600 years, right? It's like
mm-hmm.
we understand the whole divide and conquer thing. Well, they're doing that to the American people. They're making, you know, this group be afraid of that group and fight with that group, and they're you know, they're flaming fears and insecurities, and they're capitalizing on it. Capitalizing in the sense that they're actually making money on it.
Right. right. Well, even if it's
stacking their bricks of gold while they're doing it.
Even if everything stopped today, I'm sure they're so much more richer than they were 6 weeks ago. It's going to be mind blowing.
Yeah. You know, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing to me, like, you know, that we're 6 weeks in, and I think Elon Musk barely just now declared some of his conflicts, right? and those aren't even, that's just like a couple of them, but so many more. You know, the man has like somebody, I was like listening to somebody on the air the other day, they were like, well, he has $1 million contracts. He has multiple $1 million contracts, you know, right. SpaceX, you know, he's got like all these, you know, it's just crazy to think that, like, you know, there's three or four people who are controlling, you know, all of the financial interests and all of the things that are being decided right now. And like, and we barely hear people about it.
Right. Well, that's why it's important that we talk about it. I know the show before us talks about it. I know this network talks about it constantly from 8 o'clock on. And we just need to see how this last boycott on February 28th worked out and go from there, because there's a playlist of more things to do. I just hope that our Democrat relatives that are in Washington really don't work on a 3-day week and are on top of this every day, because it's coming at us every day. And so how we can support them and how we can push them, I think is making a phone call to them.
Yeah. Calling the people that are standing up against them, encouraging them to continue to do it. Calling the representatives in your district who are voting for these things, maybe because they don't completely understand. Maybe they only, you know, I think there's just a lot of false narratives that people don't pay attention to, right? The lion's share of people who are in Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare across the country are
in the red states.
They're in the red states. It's like you voted for this man. He was going to make your life less expensive to live. He was going to ensure your well-being, and he is not doing that, and they are not doing that. And you know, I hate when I'm sold a lemon and it's I'm told it's a watermelon. So you should hate it too, and I think that you should speak up and say so. And I think that that's kind of where we're at. It's really scary and frightening.
It is, and we appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because this is broadcast all over the world, and we're standing up, AOC standing up, Bernie standing up. We got to support these people that are not taking any crap.
No, and I'm partly saying it too because, like, you know, NAC is a federally qualified healthcare center, which is part of the system-wide network of primary care healthcare centers. Community healthcare centers all across the United States. There's about 17,000 of us, 14,000, something like that. But we are the foundation of healthcare. Like, we saw this in the pandemic, right? How hard it was for you to get healthcare at your hospital, or how hard it was for you to get healthcare at these other places where you would maybe normally think that you could go and get healthcare. But you know what stayed open, and just barely? Some of us closed. Some of us, like NAC, we were working, we were barely initially at the beginning, until it rained money and we started getting some. We stayed open. We got vaccines to people. We got people treated for COVID and a few other things. And we kept people well. What's going to happen is Medicaid and Medicare slashes are going to harm community health centers. And many of them will close, and people will have less access to basic primary care, preventative care that keeps them well, keeps their families well, keeps them alive, and keeps them functioning and able to go to work, take care of their kids, take care of their families. And that should concern everybody, no matter what color you are, no matter whether you're blue or red, and whatever you vote, everybody should be concerned about this.
Well, Dr. Stately, Big Pinagigi, thank you coming on and speaking your truth. And we need to hear that, and we need to talk about this every day on Native Roots Radio. So I appreciate you and all the work you do in the community, but also all the great work you do for us here on Native Roots Radio.
Miigwech.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, Haley.
Ho-wa. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A big federal agency has been administering polygraphs to some of its employees.
We have identified two leakers of information here at the Department of Homeland Security.
That's DHS Secretary Christine Noem. People with money in the stock market, and that includes Americans with 401ks, will be glued to the market tomorrow after suffering stinging losses the past few weeks. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Talk of tariffs is roiling markets. Last week, stocks saw the worst weekly decline in 6 months.
Syrian troops have been fighting forces loyal to President Bashar Assad 3 months after Assad was toppled. At least 1,000 people have died, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. James Jeffrey leads the Wilson Center's Middle East program.
There's a chance we can get through this, but if the international community is divided, as it was for much of the Syrian civil war, it's likely we'll descend into chaos.
It's the most serious challenge yet to the current Syrian government. CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's the Bucks and the Cavaliers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Cavaliers, the number one team in the NBA's Eastern Conference, 7 o'clock tonight. Now, last night, the Bucks losing to the Orlando Magic in five-serve form, 111-109. That snapped a four-game Bucks winning streak. College basketball, it was Marquette's senior day. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur in attendance. But the Golden Eagles let an eight-point lead slip away, and they lost to number sixth-ranked St. John's, 86-84. Marquette head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, credit to St. John's, they stayed tough. You know, when you have that type of momentum, you have to keep it going.
In Madison, the Badgers losing at home to Penn State, 86-75. Wisconsin center Stephen Kroll.
I think, like Coach said in the locker room, just the bite wasn't there necessarily. Like he said, to end the first half, and then all the way through the second half, I just think we didn't have enough grit, enough bite in that second half, and credit to them for taking it to us.
That's the Badgers' Stephen Kroll with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine mixed in with a few high clouds for today. Southwest winds will turn quite breezy. Gusts up around 25 in the afternoon. Highs of the mid-50s. Overnight mostly clear in mid-30s. On Monday, sunny skies, a little warmer, close to 60. It's 30 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In a brief to the North Carolina Court of Appeals, a bipartisan group of former county election directors urged the court to reject a claim that as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible last November. And a former state Supreme Court justice is arguing in another appeals case that gerrymandering by the state legislature is akin to stuffing the ballot box. We followed the claims from state Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin that as many as 65,000 registered eligible voters had incomplete registrations in a race he lost by 734 votes to incumbent Justice Allison Riggs. The race is the only unresolved election in the country. In late February, a bipartisan group of 42 former county election directors filed a brief outlining why the voters should be considered valid and concluding, "The citizens of North Carolina who obey the laws and the direction of the elections administrators should not have their votes discarded." In another North Carolina case, former state Supreme Court Justice Bob Orr is arguing in state appeals court that the legislature's gerrymandered voting districts manipulate election outcomes. By packing voters by party into a district, he argues, it violates the state constitution's guarantee of free elections with a fair count. Orr told the Charlotte News and Observer, if they can't stuff the ballot box, how can they stuff the voter pool? We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Mondays. We have Stephen Williams, owner of Blue Book, discussing debtors' recent arrests. We'll also welcome Dr. Anthony Eastreet, CEO of the National Association of Social Workers. Stay tuned.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio.
Hoka Hecha.
Wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, really excited to have this artist on, Jennifer White. Jennifer White's owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And you just had an art show up here in the Twin Cities, and I was able to get in there and see. Haley met you. So big Peeny Geeky, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, talk a little bit about the beginning of your career here. I see that you started in 2010.
Yeah, well, it started out pretty bare bone. Didn't have a whole lot of fat to work with. Painting has always been a passion, and it's kind of strange, but over the years, working with all of these phenomenal artists and organizations, it's not only improved like my work, but it's improved who I am as a human being and my consciousness into the pride I have for being a Native woman. Is just, it gets stronger every day. I'm honored and privileged to be able to do what I do.
Well, we're really honored to have you on, and your art is very recognizable, and that's a really good thing, because it's like, that is something, you know, I'd like to have on my wall. I know, Haley, you got to meet her. It was amazing for the opening at All My Relations Art Gallery.
Yeah, I think I got a little preview sneak peek for the Native media that was there that showed up, and got to talk with Jennifer for a bit. And I think we really hit it off. I think we had a lot of good laughs together, and we were talking about your art, and I think it was just so beautiful. I like to go to a lot of the exhibits at All My Relations, and yours really stuck out to me. I would just say, because you really portray a lot of Native women portraits in your work, and I've talked to you too about how it's been kind of like a self identity thing too, that you see through in your work. You kind of see some of yourself too, but I love the bright colors too. There's a lot of positivity that shows through in your work.
Thanks. Well, working painting women, it's Frida Kahlo said it best, like, are these all self-portraits? I get that question quite a bit. The only reason why that is because I see my face every day, and I know it better than anything in the whole wide world. So if it is me, it is me. But at the same time, the paintings that I do, I paint every day, and my mood, especially now with what's going on with this Joker in office right now, my work has been lit. Like, it's all about empowerment. It's about the distress cry of American Indian people, and how we are not being heard or being seen. And once again, our culture is being crushed by these people that don't take the time to understand who we are. So it's my obligation and my duty and my work to recreate who we are as people's perception of Indian people. And it gets rough, it gets kind of mean sometimes, but at the same time, I really feel as though now is the time for the cry of the women, the cry of the men, these strong, powerful, influential Native people to speak up and be present and be heard. It's our time. It is our time to be lit. It is our time to be set on fire, man.
Right on. And that shows in your work, and it's going to show more in your work. I really love how you said that. You know, I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about this. My wife paints in acrylics too. That's hard because of the layering you have to do. Is that right?
That's the best part, man. Oil's so slow, and it stinks, you know, and it's hard to get off your hands. But with acrylic, you can really beat it up. You can layer it. You can water it down. You can keep it full blast color. You can cut into it, and it dries so quickly. I appreciate acrylic. Watercolor's a little fussy as well. I'm not into it. One thing I would like to try is sculpting with clay and then bronzing it. But that's, you know, when I'm an old lady, I'll try that.
Gotta try them all.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, Haley paints in watercolors, so there is a big difference,
bossy.
Right, Haley?
That's difficult.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Watercolor, yeah. I'm always like, you can't make mistakes because the water's gonna do its own thing. But I like to work
it's
with
really
water too
not
because
forgiven.
Water's life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. That one. Mini Choney there.
Yeah, Mini
there, Haley.
That's great.
So how can people, because again, we're all over the country and on 30 stations in Wisconsin, in the Twin Cities, Michigan, Illinois, we should name them off someday when we start out the show, but how can people see your work via internet, or do you have a Facebook or an Instagram?
Oh yeah. Well, I have a Facebook that's exclusive. I update that daily. I'm on Instagram, but I'm an old lady. I'm not really into it. It's not my forte. Word of mouth is by far my most powerful advertising agent. I believe bad news spreads quickly, but good news goes to the right ears. So I don't do a whole lot of advertising. Word of mouth is very, very, very important to me. And if you own my work, you've probably met me, and I appreciate that kind of gatekeeping on my part. I don't want to be a whore with my work. I want to know who I'm selling to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I got to say this too. I've always wanted to start a business, offshoot business called Burning Wagons Logistics or something. But I really like your Post Pilgrim name. Tell us how that came about.
We're still here. You didn't get rid of us. I like it because it's tongue-in-cheek. I'm from South Dakota, so it's kind of like cowboy country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit boss hog in the way that, you know, don't fuss around with me, man. Like, I'm a proud Indian girl, and we're going to be here for a while. And my blood with my children will be here for a while, and I have two painters. My girls are painters and they're fabulous. They're award-winning as well, but like, they're going to be here well after I'm done. And I hope I have grandchildren that can do this. There's a little bit of nepotism involved, but like, man, I earned it. I can do that. And I think we should all strive for that as a people. We need to build our own businesses. We need to make them sustainable, and we need to make them with purpose. And we need to be able to bridge that gap between native and non-native, because in that fluffy area, everybody gets to be seen and everybody gets to be heard. Having a foothold in each of those worlds helps me creatively, and it helps me in my business, but it also allows me to weed out a bunch of suckers that shouldn't be looking at my work, both Indian and non.
Wow, good words. And just truth be told, Haley's my chujunk. She's my niece, so we're keeping.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. You get it. You get it. You know.
That kind of leads into my next question. So you talked about your kids, and hopefully you have some talented artistic grandkids as well. Do you have like your older generations or anyone that you looked up to that kind of made you into the artist that you are now?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my grandmother is a big one. She was a quilter, but she was a little teeny tiny, horribly bossy, spooky, a Rick of Rob woman. She was tiny, but man, when she talked, you listened. I am honored to be able to learn from her and my aunts on how to hold your space and walk into a room with confidence and self-assurance that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And then on the flip, so the male energy that I got growing up was from my gay uncle, and he's a raging homo. I love him with all my heart. I mean, we grew up listening to opera, tea parties, and I got to see my uncle fight for his space in a completely different way as a homosexual man. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bravery, that empowerment, like that sunk into my skin, man. That kind of confidence was osmosis. It went straight from him right into my heart. And then learning how to kind of navigate my way on how people looked at my family, being Native, being queer, just being different. I got to observe, like, the kind of way I wanted to present myself to the world. And it was a true, honest gift to grow up almost exclusively non-Native community, because I got to be behind the lines. I gotta know how these guys think. And it's very powerful to be able to navigate through those worlds together. As I was saying earlier, it shows in my work all the time. But I'm married to a white boy, you know, and I love him with all my heart. He's a big, tall Norwegian drink of water. And I have so much pride in him for being able to give me my room to do what I do and just be there to support what I do as a woman and as an Indian. And he is also teaching the community how to behave as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful thing, and I'm very honored, and I'm very, very, very blessed with the family and people I have around me.
Wow, right on. Haley, did you have another question?
No, I think I was able to meet your husband actually at the gallery exhibit. I think you had your whole family come from out of town, and they were helping pull in pieces. And they were very supportive. I know we have a minute left here, but coming up in the next segment, I would love to talk a little bit more about your gallery and everything going on at Post Pilgrim.
Absolutely.
Wow. This is awesome, Haley. What a great guest. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and I love Post Pilgrim Gallery. I love that. Right next to Burning Wagon Soda Shop. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this important message.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Woo! Hey, Jennifer. Hey, we have Jennifer White, our painter and owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your gallery and how people driving through Sioux Falls can find it.
All right. Well, I'm super snobby. I'm only open by appointment. I'm kind of a bum, but I'm not really a bum. I work every day. It's just some days I want to work, you know, and it requires a lot, you know. I just want to be in the zone when I'm working. But otherwise, reach out to me on Facebook. My phone number is on there, and like, just give me a call. And if there's something that you see, just reach out to me. But I had my first show at this joint. It's called Last Stop CD Shop. and this cat named Brian and his wife Janine on it. And about 15 years ago, they gave me a show there. And like, man, I sold work for the first time, and I was addicted, dude. I was like, this is the best drug I've ever done. And so, I was like, man, I'm gonna see if I can do this. I'm gonna see if I can do this for a living. And so I got into a gallery, and it was pretty fabulous. I noticed that when you put your career as an artist into the hands of other people, they want to take part in your success. They want to keep a part of it for themselves. Like, your success is their, you know, to their credit. Mm-hmm. That didn't sit right with me. And so I went to these cats years later after my first show there, and I asked if they'd be interested in financing a gallery for me. And they did. And it's wild. And this is what I tell everybody I meet. Don't be afraid to ask, because the only answer you're going to get that would be bad would be no. But you're no worse off than when you started. Sometimes it takes a little bit of bravery to be told the word no. And to be quite frank, I'm not scared of it anymore. Right. So, like, we've been working on this for about 8 years now, and we used to bring in guest artists once a month. We'd do Final Friday, but then COVID hit, mm-hmm. and traveling was not as cool as it once was, and my daughter also got diagnosed with cancer at that time, so we had to be super careful about, like, spreading germs. And South Dakota was very open, you know, it kept a lot of the doors open. A lot of people were still able to make money and live as usual. Granted, we died most per capita in the entire country, but yeah, thanks, Christina. That was super cool. Anyway, so after that kind of shut down, I closed up our main gallery and moved into a studio. And it was kind of a pivot for me in my career to be able to just represent me and my daughters, opposed to bringing in people to represent. I get a focus on our careers, and they get to know us as a unit. And it's very nice being in business with these women that aren't afraid to ask questions. They want to learn the game, and they also want to be the best painters that they can be. And if that's what their dad and I can instill in them as young women, to be empowered, we're going to keep going forward with that notion.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So yeah. I had really bad tennis elbow about a year ago, so I taught myself how to paint with my left hand.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. But, like, I'd always, like, shot cool and bold with my left hand. So it's always been an ability, but, like, dude, you know, it's cool to be able to do both.
Wait a minute. You bowled left-handed?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
That's awesome.
Man, and when I was pregnant, I was a hella good bowler. I don't know.
Oh,
it was weird.
Goodness.
I don't know. I was pregnant a lot. I have 6 kids, so it's like, yeah, we had some bowling time in.
Well, when you were pregnant, you were bowling for two, so that's probably why you were twice as good.
I had some extra energy, some good juju with me on that one. You bet.
That's crazy.
But the gallery is doing well, and it's really groovy. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. There's a law firm here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you know, it's cool, but my audience is. It's interesting, of all shapes, creeds, colors, and demographic. It's awesome. But it was a law firm, and they asked me to do a series for them. And I painted this glorious war pony. And throughout the entire piece, the American flag was represented upside down. It's hardcore Indian. It's hardcore, yeah. Like, pay attention, listen. And it's in a prominent attorney's office here. In Sioux Falls. So, like, I really enjoy being Native. And when other people see that, other Natives see it, they'll know, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of an unspoken language that we have. But if you know, you know.
That's right. Yeah. We got the distressed American flag upside down for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we've been in distress for 500 years, so
amen. Amen. I hear that. And to kind of tag onto that, I hope what we do at Post Pilgrim, I hope it enlightens non-Native people as to who we really are. Sometimes I call it the unicorn effect, that people expect certain things out of Indian people that they wouldn't expect out of, say, meeting like a Japanese or, you know, a French person, where somehow we have magical powers. But the real power is that we love our families and we come from this earth and our belly buttons are attached to this land, and you couldn't tear us away from it if you tried. And to be able to explain that with love and pride and passion, oof, that's what we want to grow at Post Pilgrim. That is what we want to sow at Post Pilgrim.
That's beautiful. And we have one of our listeners, Santina, that is listening every day, and she said, bring Jay back on the show more often. And I vote yes, too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Ho, you have to haul with us next time. Ho.
Ho.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, I got a quick question. We only got a couple minutes left. Sure. Haley, do you have one of those paintings put up again real quick? The one on the left-hand side, I don't know if you can see it. It's a pretty big picture of, it looks like two women, and one's kind of, their eyes are looking different ways than their head. How long, and it's a big painting. How long did it take you to do something, a painting like that?
Oh, I'm super manic. So I'll work on a new idea on the same piece of canvas for like days. But then once I have that new idea figured out and I know it upside down, inside out, I'll knock out maybe two or three pieces in a week. I love painting. There is nothing that challenges me more. There's nothing that brings me more joy than figuring out how to become a better painter. And some of these intellectual painters, pish posh, you know, like, you'll never be, you, there's no such thing as becoming a better painter. Hell yeah, there is. I think there is. I love painting. And it's truly like reading a book. Like, once you read a book, you realize you have a million more books you need to read. That's what painting is like.
Well, Jay White, Jennifer White, we are just so happy to have you on. You're owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And what a great person you are, and we'd love to have you on again.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love it.
Right on. And then you can tell us what kind of cigarettes you smoke then next time. Oh, wow.
Virginia Super Slim, bro. That's anti-smoke. That's anti-smoke for sure, bro.
That's right. That is.
Hey,
right on. Thank you, Jay White. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. Yeah. We are the seventh generation.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I've got an off day coming up, but don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll be chatting with Mark Pocan at 3 o'clock about the Elon Act. Do we really want billionaire overlords controlling our government?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Secret Service agents shot a man near the White House this morning after he brandished a firearm. He was taken to the hospital. No agents were injured. Will Congress approve a short-term spending bill before midnight Friday to keep the government from shutting down? CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
House Republicans unveiled a stopgap spending bill to avoid a shutdown and fund the government through September. On social media, the president urged lawmakers to vote yes.
A CBS News tracker shows 28,000 federal employees have been fired since DOGE began cutting positions. So some federal employees attended a job fair near the nation's capital, among them Patrick Lappin.
Many of us may be fired illegally. We're still going to have to pay the bills.
As the U.S. pulls back, Europe is helping Ukraine. James Nixie is the director of the Russia and Eurasia program at Chatham House.
This war could go either way, and much depends on the political will of the West to step up to the plate in America's relative absence.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.